You're with Julian and why John Howard is the worst Australian Prime Minister in history. Australia's Margaret Thatcher, somebody that irrevocably changed the entire fabric of a country for the worst with no possible way back. Now, I don't need a reason to make this piece, but there is a good one, and it's a superb article from the always brilliant Greg Jericho in The Guardian today. Blaming John Howard is easy, but his government helped shape the world we live in now and for future generations, which sort of gives an indication that he might be not entirely blaming John Howard, but to a great deal. When asked who screwed the millennials, we should just apply Occam's razor and answer John Howard. His government certainly shoulders a lot of the blame, but so do those who have done nothing to help out since he was voted out. Mainly his party, I should add, by a factor of probably 5 to 1. The earliest millennials will be 70 in 2050, meaning almost all will be working when the world is forecast to reach temperatures more than 2% above the pre-industrial age average. Unless we do something, there isn't anything that we're going to do. They're the first generation who can't really say, doesn't matter, I'll be dead by then. But of course, they're not the only group screwed by climate change. When I turned 20 in 1992, I had experienced 1 month of global temperatures 1 centigrade above the average of the late 19th century. That was 1 month more than my father, who, when he turned 20 in 1966. For their first 20 years, millennials born in January 1985 had just 4 months of 1 centigrade over the late 19th century average. When my daughter turned 20 last year, she had experienced 106 months of temperatures 1 centigrade higher than the average in the 19th century. The use of climate change as a battering ram against the left by John Howard is one of his, it could potentially be the most egregious of his legacies. He is certainly the godfather of anti-climate change action in this country. Another area is the whole notion of private healthcare against public healthcare. I have put a piece online ages ago campaigning about ending the Medicare rebates and all the shit he put in, which was a total gift to the private healthcare industry. Don't you have private healthcare? We're going to slug you every tax bill. This has been going on for many, many years and is a direct transfer of public money into private healthcare, propping up the industry. The idea that John Howard, a neoliberal free market freak, is using socialism to prop up the private healthcare industry by transferring taxpayers' dollars into the an industry that was dying is just perfect example of how hypocritical he is and how these, what was it, rugged socialism for the rest of us. Howard's desire to kill unions for the purpose of keeping wage down and the profits turbocharged a neoliberal project that began in the 80s under Paul Keating and Bob Hawke. At least Keating comes out and says it was a terrible idea. The decline in union membership, both in Australia and America, has coincided near perfectly with a decrease in salaries and disposable income. It's like half the country's been trained by Rupert Murdoch to love billionaires and hate unions who are themselves. Average annual real wage growth in the first 5 years of working has absolutely collapsed. Unemployment benefits versus the poverty line. I have gone through a couple of stages of unemployment, and I tell you, when you've got a borderline bottom tier one bedroom flat for $500 a week and you're getting $270 a week if you're lucky, you do the math on that. There is so much wrong with that. And we found out during COVID that giving unemployed people more money to cover their rent and then have disposable income goes back into the economy and lifts all boats because they're spending other money instead of not even being able to afford rent, which has gone up dramatically because of the same people. For the first time, most people aged 30 to 34 don't own their own home. For the first time in history. When Howard said in 2003, I don't get people stopping me in the street and saying, John, you're outrageous. Under your government, the value of my house has increased. 57% of Gen Xers in their late 30s and 65% of those in their early 40s already own their own home. Little wonder his government was happy to provide a 50% discount on capital gains tax that turned the housing market into a casino, but also introduced a first homeowner's grant and later doubled it to keep juicing house prices up. Since 2000, property prices have soared ahead of income, and it's not only down to the capital gains tax. The negative gearing that Howard supercharged under his gain, the egregiously high tax breaks he kept funneling out to people that already had a lot of money, like those with a great deal of superannuation, franking credits. And people say, oh, Paul Keating, he invented franking credits. He did not invent John Howard's franking credits. He did not invent the one where if you haven't paid any tax at all, you get a tax rebate from the company paying you a dividend. The share of housing developed by the public sector dropped from 20% to 2%. The cost of repaying your mortgage and your rent has gone up dramatically. Unfortunately, the impact of these policies, especially on climate change, has screwed not only millennials, but the generation to come. The biggest lie that we tell ourselves about John Howard is that he was a good economic manager. No, he wasn't. The International Monetary Fund said he was the only profligate Australian leader in 30 years, including all the way up to Tony Abbott, because they knew the ticking time bomb of him using the mining boom of $380 billion that happened under his tenure to hand out tax cuts would gradually grow. He gave franking credits out in around the year 2000. It was about $500 million a year. It's now nearly $10 billion a year. All these things that he did have built progressively up. The great lie about him being an economic manager. Under his tenure, the average Australian economic growth was 0.2% ahead of the OECD average, with a $400 billion mining boom bonus. Under Rudd and Gillard, and you won't see this in the newspapers, they were 2% or 10 times higher than John Howard above the OECD average. And you ask most of the people that read the Murdoch Press and they will tell you that Rudd and Gillard were bad economic managers and John Howard was a genius. John Howard's Australia was the eighth best performing OECD economy in the world when he left office. Rudd and Gillard, for 4 years of the tenure they were in office, were the number one ranked economic performer in the OECD nations. But he didn't only change Australia in that manner, just the way that Thatcher changed the entire fabric of a country, for worse. The Children Overboard scandal, which got him limped over the line to another election victory against Kim Beazley, when Kim Beazley was probably weeks away from winning an election, was when John Howard lied about children being thrown overboard by desperate refugees, saying that they'd thrown their own children into the ocean, which was later proven to be completely a lie. And he won an election based off of that as well. These people don't always win elections comfortably. They often win them by fractional things. And he had the entire Murdoch press on his side. That was a cultural change for Australia. The good side of Australia was the acceptance of so many Vietnamese refugees after the end of the Vietnam War, and culturally changing into being an accepting nation to foreigners. And then John Howard just came back and used one of the most evil sticks he could have possibly beaten Australia with. And we've never gone back from that. His anti-Aboriginal sentiment has been notorious and legendary, and Australia again has culturally changed to where we get the no vote last year, to where so many of Australians naturally feel a massive negative feeling towards Aboriginal Australians. John Howard has done more than any individual to foment that. His intervention in the Northern Territory is probably the most racist thing a modern Western nation has done till now in the last probably 25 years. His anti-climate change rhetoric has been legendary. He is rightly the poster boy for a succession of Liberal leaders being very, very anti-climate change. And also a lot of people in Australia believing it. It's a left-wing conspiracy. Maybe this is the Australia that was always there, and maybe he just pandered to it, and maybe that they hadn't realised that they were all together before. But the ultimate legacy of John Howard is an economic one. He destroyed the way of life in this country. He destroyed the base notion of capitalism, which is that you will buy on an average wage your own modest home and your wealth will compound in you paying off your mortgage, and by the time you're 60, all of your rent money will have gone into your own mortgage and your own house, which will have gone up in value. Instead, he's cut off a huge portion of Australia from ever owning their own home, who will spend their entire life's work and endeavour and wages giving it to other people's children and ending up with nothing. And that's his legacy, and he is the most responsible for that. His idea of a fair go and people that pull themselves up by their bootstraps is bullshit, because there is no way to afford a $1.5 million average home in Sydney on an average wage of $80,000. You have to have benefited when times were good. The idea that he stands for people that are hardworking and industrious and everything that these lying Tory bastards say that they do is complete crap. And he introduced a cynicism into Australian politics. I stopped watching television news around 2005, and I've never watched it since. And the two things that really turned me off were the reporting on the Gulf War, which I was right about, and we all know how bad the reporting on that war, justifying everything that was happening between 2003 and 2005, and the journalists turn around and act like they didn't do it. And the other was watching people like John Howard on TV, where I knew that they were lying through their teeth every time they spoke. He was a cynical man, but ultimately his economic policies have compounded and grown into this toxic monster I don't think that we can ever get out from. So you are the worst Prime Minister in Australian history.